Curling's alive and well. Welcome to another episode of Inside Curling with me. And that's it. Don't worry about the other two guys. No, I'm kidding. And our two World Curling Hall of Famers, Warren Hansen and Kevin Martin, join me each and every week to bring you all things curling. I want to thank all our sponsors, Sports Interaction, Nestle Boost, Coyote Tractor, and Goldline. Email us, insidecurling@gmail.com. It's time for In the House is brought to you by Goldline Curling. Goldline Curling's Momentum Rush shoes are the fastest, most stable, and most comfortable shoes Goldline has ever made. Learn more at goldlinecurling.com. Joining us now, I don't think they knocked Warren, but I could hear their footsteps. Mike McEwen and his wife, Dawn. Listen to the Inside Curling podcast ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. So, as promised, we're trying to straighten out everyone's thoughts and ideas on all this announcement from Curling Canada. And was it going to be the first time Curling Canada made an announcement and everyone was completely happy? No. Yeah, not so much. As we said, a bunch of stuff came down with this ruling that if you were, for the Scotties, for example, if you're pregnant and you can't play, and you're in the top five, you would be allowed to go outside the province to get a replacement. But if you have a heart attack, you can't. Okay. I laugh, but all this is true. And to try and straighten out the whole thing and talk to people who it affects the most, we are joined this morning by both Mike McEwen. Congratulations, Mike, by the way, for winning the Ontario. You're on your way. And his wife, Dawn McEwen, who everyone knows, who retired last year and played with Jennifer Jones. Dawn, you weren't going to let this slide, right, without talking about it. So I know we got a ton of questions, and we'll let Kevin jump in right away.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dawn, for coming on. And Mike, congratulations. Let's start, I guess, at the beginning. First year of a quad. So we hear, and it's wonderful news, Dawn, where there's lots of babies happening in the curling world. It seems like most female athletes, by intent, try to get pregnant during the first year of the quad. I guess I'd love to hear you explain sort of the thinking with that.
Yeah, I think it's a very personal decision for those who want to have children. And you're right. I think ideally in a perfect world, the first year of a quad is probably the most ideal time to try and conceive, if that's possible. And you look at right now, there's, you know, a whole whackload of athletes that are pregnant. But I also think that, you know, for every athlete that is pregnant, there's most likely other athletes that have been trying to conceive or didn't have a viable pregnancy, and it just wasn't a good time for them. So it's really tough to plan this. And you just almost have to just, you know, take what you can get, really. And some are very fortunate to be able to conceive, and others aren't. And I think that's something that needs to be talked about more in society, actually, too. But just speaking on my experience, with our first daughter, Vienna, we were able to time it pretty well with the curling season. So that was great. And then the next quad I had, we were pregnant again, and it was perfectly ideal timing. But the pregnancy wasn't viable. It didn't work out. So at that point, we just decided we were going to keep this as our priority and try for as long as we can. So we tried for a long time, and eventually we're fortunate enough to get pregnant with our daughter, Avalon. And I would say I probably had her at the most inopportune time there is in curling. I was 7 months pregnant during the Scotties, and then I had her 7 months before the trials. So, you know, it wasn't ideal, but at the end of the day, I made it work, and you just take what you can get, really. So it was tough, but like, it was nice. I had a very supportive team. We were lucky to be in a unique situation where we had five players where we, you know, we conformed to the residency rules, and we had Lisa Weigel. So for me, from my standpoint, it was nice to have that pressure taken off of me to not have to worry about that, because that's another aspect that I think that people need to realize about women in curling is that, you know, you have such a small unit, your team, that when you're gone for a while, it really impacts the team and how it functions and perhaps performance. So yeah, the fact that we had Lisa, and not all teams have that luxury of having a five-person team and having a player of Lisa's quality caliber. So it's interesting. And I think it's really hard in curling for women in general to balance competing, training, traveling, and also trying to start a family, plan a family. And I think just with this rule coming out, it's just so silly in my mind. This type of rule, it's a good rule to implement. It should have been implemented a long time ago, but if you're going to do it, it has to be for everybody. You can't just pick and choose. So, that's kind of my stance on that. But I also think it's important to mention as well that I've had conversations with a player who's directly impacted by this rule. You know, I think it's important to say that they voiced their opinions to Curling Canada with this rule. If it did come to fruition, they wanted it to be for everyone, for all women who are pregnant in curling, and not just necessarily specific players and teams. And it was also voiced that if this rule does take place, it has to be everyone or no one. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work out that way.
Before we get into the rule further, you said a couple of things that really, the incredible family pressure, not just, I guess, the females of the relationship, but also just the whole family unit when you have to get pregnant or you think you do in a certain window. Well, that's not real life. Like that's you can't just say May 12th we're going to get pregnant. This doesn't work that way. So the extreme pressure.
Exactly, and I think that for curlers, I think you can't necessarily pick and choose your spots. You just have to roll with it and see what happens. And it's tough, especially when you're playing at such a high level of sports. I mean, it weighs a lot on you at times too. So, but I think you just have to, in your mind, know what's best for you and try and make it work.
Let's get back into a little bit of the repercussions. I don't think this is just for curling either, Dawn. When you take a top player takes time off for the pregnancy, and that you have to, there's no choice, but you could really drop down the rankings a long ways. And that impacts your ability to get into the Olympic trials, get into different events and so on. And then obviously now all of a sudden you're out of the top five. So now just because of that, you can't pick up the top potential replacement for your team. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Just the impact of being pregnant at whenever you are, but you lose your ranking and then you lose your benefits of the ranking.
It's a tough one. I mean, I don't know.
I'll just jump in here to support Dawn. I think what's disappointing is the way it's written is that they're adding extra pressure to women athletes to have a top five pregnancy. And you could start out, you know, in the fall season, and now there's extra pressure that if you don't finish high enough in the rankings, you know, your team's not afforded an opportunity to get a high quality replacement for you. So I think that added pressure and stress is a little bit problematic. I think we're both struggling with the execution of the rule. I think the overall intent, you know, the idea of it was good, but just the, you know, the caveats and the execution of it, they, you know, in our opinion, they failed in that aspect.
It's kind of the time it was implemented too, you know, mid-season, a couple weeks before the Scotties. So,
yeah, the same thing where there's the players don't really have a say. You just hear about it all of a sudden.
Exactly.
here, this is what we're going to do next week, by the way. And sorry, Team Scheidegger, you're number six. Six is bad. Five is good.
Yeah.
And it's only by a couple of points. Is there any way in seriousness, to be able to save a team's ranking. This goes outside of curling too, Dawn, I think. This goes into other sports where all of a sudden you miss half a season or something and it's really impacted. Is there any way that maybe a governing body could protect your particular ranking?
I'm not familiar with all other sports out there, what their pregnancy rules are, but...
Your team went through this with a five-person and there was challenges.
Yeah, it was brought up, but it wasn't really received very well, so... It was kind of kiboshed.
The elephant in the room with all this, again, it seems to me, is this idea that you must be from the same province as well. And I think that's what's screwing all this up, you know, as part of it, right? That if you're going to form a team, that you can't go outside of your province. There it is again, this. And we've had lots of shows, lots of discussion about this. And most of it is that they got to get rid of that provincial rule. What do you say to that, Mike?
Oh, wow. that's a loaded question. It strikes me that we don't really know what the long-term vision is. We keep having these rules crop up mid-season. Obviously the one we're talking about today, we just had a rule that's implemented for the Brier that Team Canada does not have to abide by residency. Mm-hmm. The same rules as the other 17 teams in the field do have to. I'm really struggling. It seems that we're reacting, mm-hmm. and we actually, Curling Canada and the member associations, the people in control of our national championships, I don't feel as an athlete that they actually have a vision of where they want to take this. And yeah, it's troubling. I want to see a vision that is long-term and hopefully, a plan and execute that. And I really see a lot of this as being reactionary. Mm-hmm.
I hope it doesn't get to a case where a team, because I agree, it sounds unfair where a team protests this and says, no problem, we're not curling. Kevin, you've done that before.
That's a long time ago, but that's kind of what happened. Yeah, finally, you do have to get to a point where you just go, we just got to do something about this stuff because it's just can't be making up rules as you go. And the biggest thing, Mike, I think to your point that trying to figure out, the long-term goal here is that all provinces aren't the same. And Alberta, you've got Laura Walker, who's a fantastic curler, sitting in the weeds, and you've got, to Don's point, I forget exactly how you said it, a whack load of female curlers that are pregnant right now. So if you could take Laura, if it has to be provincial, if we're going to be a provincial sport in this particular situation with the Scotties, then Laura should play on an Alberta team. If we're going to go Canada-wide and open up the borders, that's okay too, then Laura can go wherever. To walk on that fence, you just get splinters, and it just doesn't seem to work because one day you're a regional thing, the next day, nah, you're not. Not Team Canada, don't worry about it. You can come from anywhere, but no, Team Manitoba, you got to be from Manitoba. Wait a minute, you're pregnant. No, you can bring Laura Walker in, it's no problem. Like, it's all wishy-washy to me.
Yeah, and I think Jim said, what about, a serious medical leave? What rules apply to that? When we're talking about injury or what have you. Like you said, Kevin, you described it best, I think. You're kind of walking on that fence and getting a lot of splinters on the way.
Okay, so there we have it. A bunch of boring stuff. Kidding. another issue that we'll have to see how Curling Canada handles it. Don, you said you were nervous. You were fine. You did great.
Thank you.
Have you ever seen Mike's head? Does he ever take his hat off?
He's got a great head of hair.
Yeah. Where is it? Let's see. Let me see him. There we go. Finally. All right. No one's going to recognize you.
No solar panel. Yeah.
Take it easy, Don. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for weighing in on this.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Don.
Let's see. No one happy with Curling Canada. If you're a top five ranked team, you can replace one of your players. Women's team can replace them only if they're pregnant. Okay? That you're allowed to go outside of the province to do it. So how long would it take before something happens that, right away, okay, that this is going to affect? Casey Scheidegger, way to go, Casey. Lost in the final to Skrillik in Alberta. Holman, Jones, and Einerson go through to the Scotties. Casey's team is ranked sixth. Jessie is pregnant. She needs to be replaced. But because you're ranked sixth, even though you're in the Scotties, you're not allowed to replace her to go outside of the province. And that seems to be the issue. Casey, we really appreciate you coming on. You cannot be happy with this rule.
Yeah, it's a bit odd for sure. I think the first time we heard about it was yesterday. So I think that was, we're just kind of letting that settle in and gauging our reactions to it. Just to be clear, Jess will still be attending the Scotties and playing probably most games.
Oh, good. Okay.
She is in a little bit of discomfort, though. So our fifth will also be playing. So we did need to find somebody that could play, but Jessie will be also in attendance and hopefully playing most of our games.
I think you have an announcement to make.
Yeah, I'm also pregnant. So Jessie and I are both pregnant.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so this is definitely hits close to home, being just out of the exemption for the rule for our team.
I've got an idea. Why don't they have a separate championship with pregnant curlers, and it would be a full field. Holy man, there must be something in the water these
days. There's a lot. There are a lot of pregnancies currently in curling, which is really exciting.
For sure. Yeah, for sure it is.
I definitely have something to ask here, because it's, well, obviously sixth place. That just doesn't make any sense. Why fifth you can, sixth you can't. But going a little deeper than that, I think it kind of makes a difference, the depth of the top tier athletes in various provinces. It's not equal. And obviously the person that everybody talks about is Laura Walker, obviously a fantastic curler. It would have made sense that the top ranked Alberta team may have been able to take Laura as a fifth. So I'd just like you to give your thoughts on all of that. I know it's a lot to open up and to cover.
So I think that starting off, like, currently, there's not a huge discrepancy between fifth, sixth, and seventh in the points for the CTRS right now. So I think to sort of classify your top five based on a very small point margin doesn't make a ton of sense either. So that was sort of like the first thing that kind of like stood out to us, is that point discrepancy between five and six and even seven. Like, we only got wildcard two by like 1.3 points ahead of Ackland. So that's a very, very small point margin to kind of be playing with, of, you know, classifying top five, top six, whatever. But not only that, I don't think that there should be a classification. I think I was glad to see that there are some pregnancy rules and exemptions coming into effect, because I think pregnancy is something that impacts a lot of curlers, because we are able to go on well into our, you know, 30s and 40s in our career. We likely are starting families or having families and young children. So I think that it is something that definitely needs to be talked about, and there needs to be some sort of, you know, rules in place around it. But I don't think that it should be limited to your top five teams in Canada. You know, for us, obviously Laura would have been a name that would have come up for us as a fifth player. She's from Alberta. She would have fit in with the residency. She's a great player. She's proven that time and time again, but again, not an option for us. So we also had no idea that this was going to really be a rule. So we only looked at players for our fifths that were in Alberta, because we had to abide by the residency rules.
So Casey, congratulations on your pregnancy, and congratulations on getting into the Scotties after losing that heartbreaking final in Alberta. I watched that, and what a shot. That must have just about torn your heart out when she made that one. I could imagine myself sitting and saying, they're not going to make this. And
famous presto, last words.
So how did you guys regroup after that? That must have been a tough one.
It was definitely tough, but I mean, she made a good shot that was called to win. So, you know, looking back, you're like, oh, was it there? It was there for sure. It was there. You know, kudos to them. They had a really great week and she made a good shot, but it was tough. And then we were cheering very, very hard for Laws and Jones and Homan to come out of their province so that we would have an opportunity. Yeah.
No kidding. I guess the whole issue here again is this is being confused again, because we're combining a high performance qualification event with provincial representation, and it goes back to 1927. Keep trying to combine the two things to keep everybody happy, but in the process of doing it, I'm not sure anybody's happy. And the fact again, they almost say five teams. Well, we know one of those five teams are going to win, so those are the ones that are mattering, and the other 13 don't matter. which is kind of how I read that. It's all such a confusing turmoil. What do you think about the whole system? Would you like to see a discussion where things are maybe brought into light and a little bit clearer with regard to who's high performance and who isn't, and how do we deal with all this going forward? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think that when you have a rule like this in place, there definitely needs to be some sort of distinguishing criteria between your high performance and your tier two and your grassroots. And currently right now, we don't have that. So I think that's why the rule is a little bit hard to take, is because we have the Scotties, which, you know, sort of is a combination of everything. And, you know, the rule being very clearly favoring the top five, it's a hard pill to swallow, considering that there's not a huge point discrepancy, as I mentioned before, but also that it's not, you know, fair or equal for everybody in Canada that could be facing a very similar situation.
Yes, and I think the other one is they've broken their one import rule, because now Laws has two imports on her team, and the fact that two of those players do not live in Winnipeg. And that'll be the only team in the Scotties that'll be structured that way. So that's the other thing that I don't think really makes sense with the rules they've created. What do you think about that?
I would agree with that. I know that, you know, we've all structured teams around the residency rule. So for that to be kind of displaced is an interesting move, I would say. And one that I understand that, you know, there should be some exemptions around pregnancy. However, I think that it could have been in a different way. And I think that it could have been equal for everybody in Canada, because, you know, that isn't the only team that has a pregnancy on it that will be competing at the Scotties.
Well, that's for sure. There's lots of teams that are going to be doing that. So I wanted to just ask you, do you know who will be going with your team as a fifth? Because Laura obviously isn't in the mix, mm-hmm. being that she's with Caitlin Laws. Who's going with you?
Christy Moore will be going with us, who played on my previous team, and she also went to Points Bet with us, and we saw some success there with her. So, you know, we obviously went the route of somebody that we knew and were familiar with and kind of knew the workings of our new team, and obviously lived in Alberta. So we had to, because we have an import, so we had to follow that rule.
Is this any call, like at least the first year, maybe the first 2 years of the quad, to maybe have a five person team? Does that make sense, or is there enough depth? I guess that's always the question, isn't Casey? Like, it'd be great to have five mm-hmm. people, but can you get five people that follow the rules of the day or mm-hmm. of the minute and then be able to compete? But yet in the third year of the quad, you pretty much got these top players have to get on other teams to try to get to the Olympic. It seems kind of messy, but your thoughts on the five person option maybe at the start of the quad?
You know, I don't think it's a bad option. I think it can work, especially when you are having some, you know, pregnancies and things like that, because it does generally tend to happen at the beginning of a quad. But like you said, I think it does get a little bit messy as you move further on, and you kind of do have to pick your four that are going to be the main ones. But I mean, it does work. I look at Team Jennifer Jones this year. They've seen a ton of success, and they had the five person, but obviously, you know, all same commitment level, live in very similar areas. They still only have the one import. So I think it's rare. I think it would be difficult to have a five person team that was within regulations of residency.
Casey, the governing body, Curling Canada, they make the rules, they make the decisions. We've seen over the last little while, there's a new sort of players group that is forming. We interviewed Nicodine and that group about it. They seem to make these rules, Casey, unilaterally, without consulting the players. No one's really shy about that. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see Curling Canada do going forward to kind of avoid all this controversy with players when they do make decisions?
I think obviously, you know, polling some of your top teams, not just the top five, but even like reaching that a little bit further to the top 10 to sort of see, feel things out, to see how they're feeling about it, I think would be beneficial. I think for us, for this, it was, we found out about it in the media release yesterday. So for a team that is sixth place and has two pregnancies, it was interesting to find out about that and not have heard anything about it. Like, it wasn't made an option to us, obviously, because we are sixth place. But not only that, to just not even be given the information before it was released to the media, I think is a little bit disappointing.
Well, you were the one that's going to be impacted. Everybody would have known you're number six. If you're going to make a rule of five, you might want to phone six, seven, and eight.
Yeah, for sure. Which, I mean, your other wildcard teams, right? So that are getting, you know, into the Scotties. I think it just it would have been nice to have like a heads up and not find out on Twitter yesterday that that's what was happening.
Well, we found out you're pregnant. Yeah, yeah. Way to go. So we beat Twitter. We beat Twitter on that one. Casey Scheidegger, congratulations. You know, the it's tough to get in regardless of these rules, you know, residency rule and everything else and this new pregnancy rule. Getting into the Scotties is just a huge, huge thing. Mm-hmm. And you're in. Congratulations. And good luck. You don't have much time to prepare. So
yeah.
Good luck with you and your sister and all the children you're going to have. Take it easy, okay? You got a small little spiel coming up that you got to concentrate on.
Yeah, just a little one.
Good luck, Casey. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Casey. Good luck.
Hey, thanks, Casey. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Great show. A lot of meat on the bone. We do it each and every week. And thank you, everybody. Thanks a lot to Rod Paulson, his company, In-House Strategies, for all the great work he does on our Facebook page and our Facebook group. Check it out. Join us and drop us a line. If you don't belong, we'd love to have you and express what's on your mind. A reminder, once again, email insidecurling@gmail.com. The Scotties and the Briars are coming up, baby. Love this time of year. It's already February. Curl, curl, curl. Take it easy, boys. Go back to doing what you're doing. But I know what you're doing, and I'm pissed. You guys are down south, and I'm up here. Can I turn my camera? Oh, yeah. Don't open the blinds, Jim. There's a bunch of snow. We'll see you later, fellas. Take it easy.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim.